Hey, everyone. So I've mentioned to you before that when I come for this teaching, I'm tired. But then after a half hour of teaching, I'm all awake, and it takes me a couple more hours before I can go to bed. I want to stay tired tonight because I have to get up at 3:30 in the morning. So I want to go to bed right after this teaching. So let's not get too excited tonight, okay? Yeah, I have to leave. My flight leaves at 7 in the morning. So I have to be at the airport around 5:30. So I have to leave here around 4:30. So I have to get up around 3:30. So hoping to go to bed early tonight. Tonight I will probably be sharing from two books, but maybe not. You know, it's only half an hour, but I'm going to start with A Message in Consciousness and the Absolute. It's a very short message, which is why I say I will probably get to look at two books. If we do finish this message, then I'll move over to the Nisargadatta Gita, and we will look at the next quote. The message, if you have this book, Consciousness and the Absolute, is on page 6. It's dated May 14, 1980. I just want to peek out of curiosity. Okay, so the last message that we read was May 10. So this is only 4 days later. But this is a very special message, and I think you'll hear why. As I begin reading, there's no questioner. It is just Nisargadatta Maharaj speaking. Doctors have diagnosed that this body has cancer. Would anyone else be as joyful as I am with such a serious diagnosis? The world is your direct experience. Your own observation. All that is happening at this level. But I am not at this level. I have dissociated myself from sattva guna, or beingness. I'm just going to read his whole message, then we'll come back and talk about it. The ultimate state in spirituality is that state where no needs are felt at any time, where nothing is useful for anything. That state is called nirvana or nirguna, that which is the eternal and the ultimate truth. The essence and sum total of this whole talk is called Sat Guru Para Brahman, that state in which there are no requirements. After the dissolution of the universe, when no further vestige of creation was apparent, what remained is my perfect state. All through the creation and dissolution of the universe, I remain forever untouched. I have not expounded this part. My state never felt the creation and dissolution of the universe. I am the principle which survives all the creations, all the dissolutions. This is my state. And yours too. But you don't realize it because you are embracing your beingness. Realizing it is only possible when one gets support from invincible faith, from that eternal Sat Guru Parabrahman. This state, this Parabrahman principle, is eternal. And is also called Satguru. It is the eternal property of any devotee of a guru. And that's the end of that message. And his next talk is not until July 29th. So from May 14th to July 29th, he did not give another talk. (Clears throat) So, you know, it's interesting how coincidences happen, but this reminds me of my 7 steps contemplation this morning, and which went into my enlightened leadership teaching today. So I feel like I get to look at the same thing again for the third time, you know, the third concentrated time today. But this morning when I was contemplating the 7 steps to awakening, I ended up doing something that I kind of thought I would never do. I've heard Nisargadatta talk about him doing it. And I remember when he talked about him doing it, I thought, I don't think I'll ever do that. Shows we don't know squat. But what ended up happening in my contemplation this morning was I traced myself backwards. I traced myself backwards first from this form of a 58-year-old woman back to what we would call the beginning of this form or the birth. Traced myself back to being a naked baby girl taking her first breath. And looked at what was there. And what was there, of course, was a naked female body, breathing, and the other bodily functions that come along with breathing, and awareness. And as I contemplated that beginning, I realized that everything else was added on. You know, like the name, Regina, added on. I mean, just... there is nothing else about me at the level of form that is natural other than naked, because clothes, right, you put clothes on. So naked, female body, breathing, and the other bodily functions, and awareness. Those are the only natural things about this form. And then I began contemplating those things. And as I contemplated those things, meaning naked female body, breathing and other bodily functions and awareness, I realized, of course, that naked female body and bodily functions like breathing are all body related. And the only one of those natural things that is not body related was awareness. Which made it really clear why we practice awareness, watching, awareness. You know, if we did awareness, watching, body, you know, that's very limited because the body is form. And the body we know had a beginning. But we don't really know about awareness. We don't know that it was born with the body. So, you know, at least we have to accept the possibility that awareness may have existed before the body. And so I began to trace that back. I began to trace back, you know, is it at least possible there was awareness in the womb? And I have to say yes. And in fact, I've run across a couple people that say they remember being in the womb, which I find bizarre, but but you know, I have to trust that there could be awareness in the womb. And so then I began to ask myself, what about prior to conception? You know, is it possible that there was awareness prior to conception? And I was looking in a biological way right now. And so I was considering the sperm and the egg. And I thought, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. The sperm and the egg could have a type of awareness. Remember, the apple that I was had a type of awareness, right? And they merge together, and it appears to create something new, but it doesn't create something new. It's just an expansion of what's already there. And so I began to contemplate even back. I began to contemplate, you know, the process of evolution, and went back to, like, you know, single-celled, I don't know what you would call them, not really animals, but I'll call them that for lack of a better word, single-celled animals, you know, that lived in the sea prior to any creatures being evolved on this planet. And absolutely, you know, awareness could be right there in those single-celled animals that were the beginning of everything on this planet. And then I began to contemplate, well, where did that awareness come from? In these single-celled animals. And the only answer that I could come up with was there had to be awareness prior to any form. right? And so I trace myself back. And I really got the sense of the eternal nature. You know, I began to really see this thing as made. And I saw the awareness as the reality that is ongoing. And I would call it existence awareness or life awareness. But it's the reality that is ongoing prior to any form and beyond any form, and yet here right now as each and every one of us and everything, right? And I could really see that that was the reality. I could really see that this temporary thing that you know, you could say is a form of life awareness isn't, I mean, it's not that this is unreal in this moment. In this moment, it's very real. But it's not reality. Right? It's not reality. So this is what I hear Ms. Argadatta saying, is that he exists, you know, his awareness, he exists at that, he calls it principle, that life awareness that is here, kind of as Regina, but was here in the womb as a body was forming, and was here in the sperm and the egg prior to their meeting, and was here in earlier forms of animals that, you know, or creatures that eventually evolved into human, and was here in earlier forms that evolved into those forms, and here all the way back to the single-celled creatures, and before form entirely. And, you know, as I was contemplating this morning and during Enlightened Leadership today, I realized, you know, if you really genuinely see yourself as that, you couldn't fear anything. I mean, certainly you would be aware that this body is going to end, but you're not identified with this body. You're identified with that ongoing essence. And listen to what he says. Let me see if I can find it again. He says, all through the creation and dissolution of the universe, I remain ever untouched. You see, he's talking about exactly that which I contemplated this morning. Because I went back to before Earth. Where did this first single cell animal come from? It had to have come from life awareness prior to form. He says, all through the creation and dissolution of the universe, I remain ever untouched. I have not expounded this part. And this is why I've been told this book is very good. I've been told that once he got the diagnosis of cancer and he knew he was doing his last teachings, he became very much more direct. And here he is in his very first talk after the diagnosis, and he's about to say something he's never said directly before. I think he's talked around it, but he's never just come out and said it. He says, I have not expounded this part. My state never felt the creation and dissolution of the universe. That life awareness that is the source, that is prior to form, and that is also form, is completely unaware, unaffected by the form itself. The word that is coming to my mind right now is secure. You know, humans always seek security, or at least most humans do, seek some sense of security. How secure is it to know yourself as that, which is prior to form, exists during / as form, and continues when form ends? You know, when I remember Eckhart Tolle once. This is when he was with Oprah Winfrey. And I don't remember what the question was. Somebody asked him a question. It led him to say something. He got very, very serious. He's leaning forward, and he's very serious with this person about how, you know, we need to change our focus. You know, like Ron was talking about a while ago, wherever our attention goes, we enliven that, right? We need to change our focus. And if humans don't wake up and change their focus, what's going to happen is we are going to destroy this planet. He was very serious. And then he started laughing and said, of course, we'll just create another one. Now, where did that laughter come from? Right? The laughter came from being identified with that, which precedes form, is here during form, and survives form. Right? I mean, you know, most of us, most people are extremely unhappy to get a diagnosis of cancer. Maybe very few aren't, but most people, that's big news. Everything has just changed, right? Well, Eckhart Tolle was talking about destroying the planet, and he giggled. So if you're identified with that principle, there is nothing, nothing, nothing that can cause you concern. Nothing that can create fear for you. Right? You can enjoy the temporary, just like we can enjoy a meal. A meal is very temporary, right? That doesn't keep you from enjoying it, does it? You know, you can enjoy the temporary, but you don't fear your meal ending, do you? Because you know you're going to continue beyond your meal. Well, for Nisargadatta and for Eckhart Tolle and many others, they know continuation beyond form. Therefore, even physical death or blowing up the planet doesn't really cause fear for them. And this is what the awakening process is all about. The awakening process is about awakening to the fact that you are that principle, which is not only before you, the person, and survives after you, the person, but is before the universe and survives, if there is such a thing, the dissolution of the universe. I think after saying that, I'll just read what Nisargadatta had to say again. If I feel to pause anywhere, I will. He says, doctors have diagnosed that this body has cancer. Would anyone else be as joyful as I am with such a serious diagnosis? The world is your direct experience, your own observation. All that is happening at this level. But I am not at this level. I have dissociated myself from sattva guna, which he then defines as beingness, right? That sense of I am alive, especially I am alive in a world, right? He says he has dissociated himself from that. The ultimate state in spirituality is that state where no needs are felt at any time, where nothing is useful for anything. That state is called nirvana or nirguna, that which is the eternal and ultimate truth. The essence and sum total of this whole talk is called Sat Guru Parabrahman, that state in which there are no requirements. And Sat Guru is the ultimate guru, the perfect guru. And para Brahman is that which is beyond the creator. So if we think of the creator as, let's say, the second principle of God and third principle of God together, then para Brahman is before those, which of course would be the first principle of God. And the first principle of God is the ultimate inner teacher, the perfect inner teacher. So the essence and the sum total of this whole talk is called Sat Guru Para Brahman, that state in which there are no requirements. After the dissolution of the universe, when no further vestige of creation was apparent, what remained is my perfect state. So here he's talking about awakening beyond the world. Awakening beyond the world. And again, this is something that I can't imagine, and I'm assuming that you all can't imagine. There have been a couple of times in meditation where I very briefly touched an awareness with nothing in it. But very briefly. But I would assume, based on my brief experiences, that if you go very deeply into that awareness, you would be fully aware of this initial principle, life awareness, and not at all aware of anything else. Fully aware of the initial principle, and not at all aware of anything else. And so this seems to be what he's talking about when he says after the dissolution of the universe, so when he arrived at this depth of awareness as a point of awakening, and there is no world, there is no body, there's just this deep awareness of existence awareness. After the dissolution of the universe, when no further vestige of creation was apparent, what remained is my perfect state. All through the creation and dissolution of the universe, I remain forever untouched. I have not expounded this part. My state never felt the creation and dissolution of the universe. So totally aware of life awareness only. My state never felt the creation and dissolution of the universe. The primary principle, or the primary essence of everything, is only aware of itself as the primary essence. It's not aware of itself as the thing. I am the principle which survives all the creations, all the dissolutions. This is my state, and yours too. But you don't realize it because you are embracing your beingness. You know, I read Manuela's post the other night when we were in gentle healing, and she referred to the I am state as a desire. I had never really seen anybody refer to it as a desire before, but as soon as she wrote that, it made perfect sense. And he says that we are embracing our beingness. That means we desire our beingness, and because we desire our beingness so much, we are not aware of our reality. And it's kind of funny if you think about it for a moment that we would desire the temporary more than the eternal. And the temporary has to be snatched away at some point. I'm often curious, what's that experience, which the sages call death, when this beingness that this beingness that we have been identified with and clinging to and loving. I heard someone in a dyad the other day talk about how much she loved herself, how much she liked herself. And I thought that was really good looking, because honestly, that's true of all of us. You know, we love this one, even if we think we hate it, right? And so she was looking at how much she loved this one, how, you know, how special this one was, how cool she thought it was, right? So we love this temporary thing, which we all know intellectually is going to end someday. And we ignore the eternal, which isn't going to end, and which is our reality. I mean, it just doesn't really make much sense if you look at it. I am the principle which survives all the creations, all the dissolutions. This is my state and yours too. But you don't realize it because you are embracing your beingness. Realizing it is only possible when one gets support from invincible faith. So he's talking about inside of yourself. And actually, this is a note that I've taken for the next gentle healing. So you guys are getting a preview of next week. Let me pull it up. Let's see, a note that I took. Here's a question I asked after reading quote 172. What's the difference between how we would behave if we'd given up all of our doubts and the way we would behave if we haven't given up all of our doubts? And of course, I mean doubts about our reality, doubts about our truth. My guess is, and don't you guys tell everybody else, because we're going to contemplate this next Tuesday night, okay? My guess is that if we give up all of our doubts about what we are, we're going to abandon everything in this world and put all of our attention on awakening. What really keeps us from abandoning everything in this world and putting all of our attention on awakening is that we do have doubts about our reality. We actually still think I am a body. We actually still think the world is real. We think this is reality, that therefore this is what's important. This is what deserves our value and attention. And although we give some attention to awakening, we give more attention to this world because deep down, we still think this is the reality, and that the teachings like Nisargadatta's are just some kind of fantasy. If that process was reversed and all of our doubts about our reality were erased, we would toss this world away in an instant, put all of our attention on awakening, and we would awaken. So again, Nisargadatta says, this is my state and yours too, but you don't realize it because you are embracing your beingness. Realizing it, meaning realizing his state, the absolute state, is only possible when one gets support from invincible faith, right? From the eternal Satguru Parabrahman. But the faith is very important, trusting that the teachings of the sages are true with so much trust that you abandon the world except for what's absolutely necessary, and you put all of your attention on awakening. It's only doubt that keeps us from doing that. He says, this state, the Parabrahman principle, which again is before the Creator, is eternal and is also the Satguru. It is the eternal property of any devotee of a guru, right? It's not just the guru, but it's the eternal property of the devotee. And that is the end of the talk. I said that I would probably also get to the Nisargadatta Gita, but I didn't. We spent a little more time with that message than I imagined. So, okay, unfortunately, I'm not sleepy anymore. Dang it. I probably should have skipped my teaching tonight so I would be sleepy. But maybe I'll go lay down anyway and hope that the sleepiness comes. All right. I will see you guys next Tuesday, because I'll be gone at the wedding.
Enjoy the wedding.
Thank you.
Were you going to do that title for, you know, like we talked about? Or
what I will do is the draft post.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.